Okay, hello everybody, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Share. I hope everybody's well and enjoying a meaningful week. We are learning as always the Zecher and the Yilui Nishmas, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah Al-Sham. May the Nishma have a continuous aliyah in the zchus of these Divrei Torah that we will share. And may she be a Melitza Yoshar for the whole family, for only Besoros Tovos and Simchas. And we continue to thank the Frun family very, very much. They should only be zochat the Torah, mitzvos, umayisim tovim for their continued sponsorship and dedication to the shir, the zecher nishmas Miriam Frond, Allah HaHashab. Yes?
Do we need books?
No.
Oh, because I see you have yours out.
Okay, so we're going to get right into our learning. We've been talking about mindfulness, a lot about mindfulness in our eating, in our tefillah, in our davening, in our Torah learning. Eating, tefillah. Yeah, Torah learning. Okay, a lot of it mindfulness and just being cognizant before we engage in any activity in our Avodas Hashem, that we should have machshava, we should have thought. It shouldn't just be by rote, we should think, even if the machshava isn't exactly perfect. Or like we said a few months ago, you're going to end up eating it anyway, but at least you should stop and think before you do what you do. My laziness makes me desire to stay in bed. It's pleasant and comfortable here. My inner ratzon's to daven to Hashem. We should also contemplate when we study Torah. And you should think why you want to study Torah. What's your contemplation? Okay, so we're on page 270. I'm just going to read the page, and then I'm going to begin with a very interesting source that it was totally unexpected, and I only realized at the end how much it connected to our shir. Okay. Clarifying each ratzon in the mixture. What is the benefit of it? Well, this. Oh, remember we said we spoke about salad, and that you have to. Oh, he's going to say it. That if you eat everything together, it's hard to taste anything specific individually. But what you want to do is clarify each ratzon. There's a whole mixture going on inside of us. There's a whole mixture in our minds, a whole mixture in our brains, and what we have to do is clarify each aspect of our ratzon. So what is the benefit of all this? Whenever there's a mixture of different ingredients, nothing is recognizable. When the desires are not distinct, but everything is mixed up, no ratzon can be clearly sensed. No specific desire can be clearly sensed because you have so much going on in your mind. In the world in which we live, there's so much going on all the time. It's hard to figure out anything, to make space for anything neatly or compartmentalized in our mind. At one time, a desire for bodily pleasure will surface. At another time, pride will pop up. So one time, it will be a physical taiva. Another time, it will be the desire for gaiva. Another time, there'll be a desire to serve Hashem, a positive desire. I want to be an Eved Hashem. There'll be a mixture of desires, like salad, with one surfacing after another. You must separate each ratzon, separate each desire, and you have to understand each ratzon. Then each ratzon will have its own strength and its own light. That's what he writes, its own strength and its own light. L-I-G-H-T, or light. To give a simple illustration, if you eat a salad of tomatoes and red peppers and green peppers, cucumbers and lettuce, the mixture might be enjoyable, but it's all coming together in a big mish. So you're not tasting anything specific. You're tasting the peppers with the tomatoes, with the cucumbers, with the lettuce, as opposed to just eating one thing on its own. The same applies to one's soul, S-O-U-L, one's neshama. When the wills are mixed up, not a single ratzon can attain its true force and give forth its proper light. Once each one becomes distinct and is no longer intermingled, and therefore subsumed in a mixture, each ratzon will reveal its true nature. Okay, when a ratzon is distinct, you can work with it. If not, you cannot. Okay, this is what we spoke about last time. We also spoke about, one second, beautiful pasuk from Yeshayahu, Nun Vav Zayin, Vav Yosim El Arkadshi, V'simachtam B'veis Tevilasi, Olosem V'zibchem, the Ratzon Am Mizbechi, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila, Yekara L'Kol Ha'amim. We spoke about that last week. If you missed the shiur, you could catch online. I'm not going to say what we said last time. Yeah.
So, but sometimes.
I can hear.
Sometimes a mixture, the different things enhance each other. They enhance each other.
Okay, very nice.
You get something really special in the
okay,
mixture.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying maybe it shouldn't be so delegated. Maybe sometimes the ratzons can be a
no, so obviously we're not one-dimensional figures existing in a one-dimensional plane. And yes, things do become mixed up in us to a great extent. But sometimes in order to have clarity in a certain matter, you need to have lucidity into that one area. And if that one area is being affected by so many other areas, it's hard to have clarity, light, what he calls a light, in one area because it's being influenced by so many other factors. And it's hard to see what is best in that area because it's being contaminated, it's not the right word, but affected by other things. Yeah, you're never going to be totally one-dimensional. Everything we do is affected by something else, and our ratzons will always be mixed up. But sometimes we're so mixed up that we're just so mixed up.
So like a person that doesn't like peppers, and there's peppers in the salad, right? Somebody somebody doesn't like peppers, and they have to like, they can't eat it, they can't eat the mixture because the pepper will disrupt their taste with the other things. They need the pepper.
So you're saying sometimes so, one ratzon is so strong it'll disrupt the taste of everything else when it's mixed up. Right. So there has to be a balance. Obviously, we're not, nothing exists absolutely in isolation. That's not how a human being is created. On the other hand, if we are dealing with so many things at one time and so many different ratzon pulling us in so many different directions, it's very hard to be in a straight path of avodas Hashem. Okay, so I don't know if anybody saw this article in Mishpacha last week. Okay, the cover of Mishpacha was the child that survived. I don't know if anybody saw. What?
Amazing article. That article.
Oh, it was such a, so tragic. It was very difficult. Anyway, okay. So there was an article on a dove bear cone. Dove bear cohen, like C-O-H-E-N. Okay. Listen to this. I am not reading the whole thing. I went through it and only emphasized what I want to share with you. And it's totally related to this year. It's crazy. And I didn't realize to the end of reading this article how totally it's related to the Shia, and you're going to hear why. When London-born Dove Bear, a.k.a. he used to be Bradley, when London-born Dove Bear Cohn was a student at the University of Manchester, he assumed he was thirsting for the spirituality he was thirsting for would only be found in the villages and the mountaintops of the Far East. So in 2001, he put together a backpack and he left for the land of the spirit. This is, what, by the way, a picture of him today, okay, just for your reference. This is Rabbi Dov Bear Cohen today, and he is a teacher, Rabbi in Eshet Torah. Okay? So in 2001, he was searching, so 22 years ago, he's searching for spirituality, and he assumes the only place he's going to find it is in the villages and mountaintops of the Far East. He puts together a backpack and he leaves for the land of the spirit. Living out of a backpack means you carry only what you really need. It's incredibly liberating to just realize how little one needs. He worked in destitute orphanages in Sri Lanka and Laos. He participated in silence retreats in Thailand. He fasted in India. He meditated with monks in the Himalayas. He trained in martial arts in Japan and Korea. He even became a teacher of Buddhism. In time, though, he began connecting with his Jewish roots. And by the time he decided to settle in Eretz Yisrael in 2008, so 7 years after he started this journey to find spirituality, he was convinced that Eastern wisdom, which he so diligently sought out, is actually rooted in Torah. Very New Age ideas and very far out, pun intended, get it, because he went to the Far East. And he's going to show you that the ideas of what he studied in the Far East are actually rooted in Torah. So before you become skeptical, just listen. Today he's a teacher of Torah at Aish and a founder of workshops and international spiritual retreats, as well as an author of a book called Mastering Life, A Unique Guide to Jewish Enlightenment. He wants to spread one basic message. What's his message? Judaism lived in a more conscious way. Being more conscious in our Judaism provides depth, meaning, personal growth, and all the spirituality that anyone could hope for. So when a person lives a conscious Judaism, a focused Judaism, he has depth, meaning, personal growth, and all the spirituality you can want for. Again, I'm totally skipping. I only highlighted certain aspects of this article. After 6 months in Sri Lanka, Dove Bear Cohen, who was then Bradley, moved on to Thailand, where he remained for the next year and a half. He learned the language, and he became proficient in the fine points of Buddhism. There are so many neshamas like this, by the way. There are so many. In university, he studied meditation and Eastern religions, but here was the real thing. He wasn't in university. Now he could spend lots of times in temples with the monks. Okay. His first foray into authentic Eastern meditation was a 10-day silent meditation retreat. 10-day silent-meditation retreat. Together with another 50 foreigners, 50, who were searching for an elusive level of peace of mind. So they're all trying to find this Yishuv Adas and Menuchas HaNefesh. And he goes to this 10-day silent meditation retreat along with 50 other foreigners. Listening to him describe the regimen, it sounds more like an Asian prison sentence than a voluntary retreat. But he says it was actually one of the most powerful experiences of his life. Why? Listen to this. The organizer showed him to a tiny room. Now, this wasn't 80 years ago, and it wasn't 50 years ago. He started this journey in 2001. So it was in very much modern day and age. The organizer showed him into a tiny room furnished with a wooden bed frame, no mattress, and another block of wood that would be his pillow. So he had a wooden bed frame, a wooden block for a pillow, and a tiny bed frame. There was one meal a day at 11 a.m. and a snack at 6 p.m., one cup of warm soy milk. There was no reading, no writing, no listening to music, no watching any programs, no phones, no talking, nothing. Just you and your mind. The idea is to learn to control your mind. He was there for 10 days. Again, a teeny room, a wooden frame with no mattress, a block of wood for a pillow. They were fed one meal a day at 11 a.m., one snack, which was warm soy milk, at 6 p.m. They could not read, write, could not listen to music, no watching any TV programs, no phones, no talking, nothing, for 10 days. Just you and your mind. The idea is to control your mind. The first 2 days are the most difficult, he says, because you realize how crazy your mind is. But then your mind starts to calm down a lot. By day 3 or 4, he felt very peaceful, even enlightened. Then around day 5, he went into a deeper place when more subconscious issues came up. That made him feel agitated. But then he was able to calm again. And eventually, after the roller coaster of digging up all these subconscious thoughts, he realized a person has the ability to totally control his mind. The external world does not have to make you feel a certain way. You can choose your reactions instead of being hijacked by them. Because, he explains, if you can't control your mind, you can't control your life. Well, that week of silence was essentially a non-Jewish response and a tool for rising above the pressures of the world. The idea of decluttering the brain and getting rid of all the noise tells us how we should feel instead of taking responsibility for our feelings. And this is found in classic Jewish sources. In the Shema, it says, Lo sasu achrei levavchem v'achrei einichem. It's the last paragraph of the Shema Vayomer. It's from Bamidbar. It's Parsha Shlach, Perek Tesvav, Bamidbar. Lo sasu achrei levavchem, at the end, at the very end. Lo sasu achrei levavchem v'achrei einichem. Don't be a victim to your thoughts and your desires. Do not stray after your heart and your eyes. It means don't be a victim to your thoughts and desires. And Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Dov Ber Kohn, we say, Ezu Giber Kovishos Yitro, who is a mighty warrior, one who conquers his inclination. That means one who can control his thoughts and one who can control his emotions. Says Rabbi Dov Ber, I'm not suggesting anyone go to one of these extreme retreats, but at least we can start to become more aware of what we are thinking and understand so we can start controlling what's going on in our minds. This is so essential, seeing that our thoughts create our emotions, which create our life experiences. We get so caught up in our minds, we think we are what our thoughts are. He uses this model to explain the difference between pain and suffering. Pain, says Rabbi Dov Ber, is a feeling. It could be physical feeling of pain, or it could be an emotional feeling of pain. It is an unavoidable piece of living in this world. Pain is an unavoidable piece of living in this world. Suffering, on the other hand, is the mind not dealing with the feelings of pain in a productive way. We all have pain in our life. But if we relate to pain in the correct way, it does not have to become suffering. It will remain pain, but it doesn't have to become suffering. Because although we can generally choose our situations, we can choose how to react. Are you going to be a victim of your circumstances? Are you going to realize that through effort and pushing through pain and challenges, or sometimes just accepting things we can't control, we get depth, peace of mind, meaning, and growth. And it reminded me so much of what we're learning when I was reading this. Like, it really reminded me so much of where we're up to in the Sefer for the past few months. And he says, you realize that through effort and pushing through your pain and your challenges and not let it become suffering. And sometimes it just means accepting that you cannot control the situation, just to have the acceptance that I can't change it and I can't control it. We get depth, peace of mind, meaning, and growth. Instead, we need to try to find meaning in the pain. How can I grow from this? Instead of allowing it to become suffering, we need clarity. And if you can't find the meaning in your pain, then you trust and know there's meaning, which is emunah. Takes you to a new place. Okay, one second. Let me see something. He remembers, I'm skipping a lot. The whole thing was extremely interesting. I'm skipping a lot. He remembers a majestic waterfall in Korea that pours directly into the sea, and it's a tourist attraction for nature lovers from all over the world. But one thing I noticed, he says, they would come and they would take a selfie with the waterfall. They would take a picture of the back when they would leave. But they were not really ever present in the moment there. This was a real wake-up call to me, that we're so busy with the past, we're so worried about the future, we're so caught up with regret, are we ever really present in the moment? You know, there's a joke, I don't know the exact lashon of the joke, but it's just a joke. You know, there's like parents at like the chumash play or the sitter party, and all you see in the audience is everyone going like this. And the joke is, it looks much better if you look at it in real life, not through your screen. Sometimes we're just so not present in the moment. We're so busy with the past and the future, worrying, regretting, and so on. We're never really present in the moment. Even if you're watching a beautiful sunset, you might be thinking it wasn't as nice as yesterday, or this would be a great Instagram picture to show, and then you post. But were you really there? You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, one of my sisters-in-law came over with her baby, who I haven't seen for a little while, and it was really nice. And I wasn't using my phone. She was there for an hour and 40 minutes, and she wasn't using her phone. And then I told, you know, that night I said that, you know, she came over with the baby. It was so nice. And one of the kids said, did you take a picture? Because we haven't seen it for a while. And I said, no, I didn't. They said, why not? And it was funny because it just shows you also the difference between the generations. I said, I don't know, my phone. I didn't say, I said, I don't know. It just didn't occur to me to take a picture. We were just enjoying, you know, schmoozing and having lunch and catching up. And I brought up toys for him. It was so cute. And I didn't take a picture. But it's interesting, the perspective of the younger generation, like, is there a picture? And no, there wasn't a picture. Rabbi Dov Ber Kohn says, like, sometimes we're just so not in the moment. We just lack such a clarity. Our mind is over. I mean, I can't even imagine 10 days, no talking, no writing, no reading, no music, no TV. In other words, literally nothing except you and your mind. It sounds like scary to me.
Solitary confinement jail.
Yeah, yeah. In solitary confinement, you might have something to read. I don't know.
But
the author wrote, I said, the author said, if you listen, the author of the article said, it sounds more like an Asian jail than a therapeutic retreat. Okay. Then he discovered a fundamental difference between Eastern philosophy and Judaism. What he's trying to say is that a lot of Eastern philosophy is rooted in Judaism. When I started coming back to Judaism, he said, I realized that in the East, you have to detach from the physical world. And that's a major difference. Sit in a temple, go alone in a cave, fast, no food, have minimal physical interaction. Judaism, however, is a balance. Maybe that's why Eretz Yisrael is the middle between the East and the West. There has to be a balance. Instead of separating from the physical, we must utilize and interact with the physical and sanctify it. Now remember, our author said in our Sefer, I read it tonight, when you separate each Ratzon and understand it, each Ratzon will have its own strength and its own light. Yes, I read that. That's on page 27 of the Sefer. When you can separate your Ratzon, when everything's distinct in your mind, everything will have its own strength and its own light. Listen to the next story he tells. When I got to Israel from India, I met a frum yid who told me his brother was in India, and he attached himself to a guru who claimed he could read auras, A-U-R-A-S, ours. So this from Yid, whose brother is in India with this guru, was walking with the guru, and they came to an apple tree, and he picked an apple from the tree. He mumbled something, and he ate it. The guru asked him, what did you just do? And this man said, well, I grew up religious. It's just a habit. Before I eat, I make a blessing. The guru said, I never saw anything like this before. When you pick an apple from a tree, it separates from the life force and it dies, and there's no aura around it. But when you said those words, it brought the aura back, and I saw it. Rabbi Dov Ber Kohn lives with his wife and children in Jerusalem, continues to learn and teach Torah, and he's earned smicha. His book, Mastering Life, chronicles his adventures in the Far East and shares insights into finding real meaning in life and finding joy in life, and the paradigm-shifting perspective on Jewish thought and practice. And he offers practical exercises to achieve calmness and yishuv hadas, which is a word we keep coming back to, rest of the mind, in a complicated and often confusing world. Today, Reb Dov bears on a mission. What's his mission? He wants to teach humanity, or at least the people in his workshops and his classes, about mindfulness. But you didn't hear the best part of the article yet. If you read the article, so you know the best part, and if you're going to have a chazara and don't post it and share room for everybody else, just please hold your comments if you read that, the whole thing. He wants to teach humanity, or at least people in as many workshops and classes, about mindfulness, priorities, and the Torah way to achieve true inner peace and serenity, regardless of the pain and challenges hitting you from all sides. Judaism, he explains, has an ancient meditation tradition. It's just called by other names. We call it working on your character traits. We call it developing love and compassion. We call it calming your mind. We call it conquering your Yetzer Hara. We also have an ancient meditation tradition. We just will say Tikkun Amidus, developing love and compassion, Ahava and Rachamim. Calming your mind, Menuchas and Nefesh, Yeshuva Das. Conquering your Yetzer Hara, Gibra Kovish is Yetzer. The Gemara tells us, the early Chassidim, I believe it's Brachos Chavav, he doesn't quote here, but I think. The early Chassidim were sit for an hour before davening. The Gemara says that. When the Gemara uses the word Chassidim, it doesn't mean a Chassidim, it means the pious ones. So the Gemara says the early Chassidim would sit for an hour before davening. What were they doing for an hour before davening? Remember, one of the things we spoke about is mindfulness before prayer. The Rambam explains, Lahashkis Machshav Tam, Lahashkis Shaket, to quiet their thoughts. These are not foreign concepts, what I practiced in the Far East. They are all rooted in Torah. But our goal isn't meditation for its own sake. It's a technique to achieve a level of mindfulness. So if we can work on this, we become mindful when we eat, mindful when we pray, mindful when we learn Torah, mindful when we speak to other people, mindful with our own selves. To calm our minds, so we can really use our minds, not space out from our minds. We train our minds in emunah, faith. We train our minds in bitachon, trust, in the idea that everything is from Hashem. And at that level, it's impossible. If you really recognize that everything is from Hashem, and you train your minds, well, this is all about mindfulness, yishuv hadas, concreator, tikkun amidas, silence. What's the point of blocking out all the noise of the world? To find out who you are. You know, my son told me an amazing Dvar Torah. I'm interrupting him for a second. An amazing Dvar Torah from his Rabbi in Israel, from OJ, was his night seder Rabbi. He said, Rabbi Blachman. I think he said Rabbi Tzvi, are you Blachman? Rabbi Blachman from OJ. And he sends out every week to the boys WhatsApp Dvar Torah. My son listens to WhatsApp Dvar Torah, and he usually tells it over at the Shabbos table. It was my son's Rabbi like 8 years ago. Is that possible? Shana Alf was 8 years ago. I think so. Wow. So he said a brilliant Dvar Torah on the Mitzorah. This is brilliant. This is the first place I'm telling it over. Brilliant. And my son and daughter were just by us for Shabbos this past week, Friday night. I said, hey, well, it was Rabbi Blachman's Dvar Torah because I really like them. And my son said, I didn't have time to listen. I forgot to listen. I said, you forgot to listen. So the one for Tzmir, who's the Mitzorah? The Mitzorah spoke Lashon Hara about somebody else. Seven sins that lead to Tzaras, which is can't be translated. It's a spiritual affliction with a physical expression. And either his walls or his clothing or his very self is afflicted with these spots, these sores, rash, and he's sent out of the camp. He has stingy eye, haughty spirit, tzaras ayin, gasus haruach, he spoke Lashon Hara, sheker, shvua shav, okay, not sheker, shvua shav, okay. And he's sent out of the camp. Why is he sent out of the camp? So Rashi says, Ho il vuhu hivdil belashonar ben ish li ishto ben ish li chaveru afhu yibadal. Since he caused separation between man and his friend, a man and wife with lashonar, he caused havdala, separation between people, he has to be separated from people. And he sits all by himself, all by himself. I don't know if they had any reading in those days. What were they reading? Hieroglyphics? I don't know if they had any reading or any writing. Maybe they had papyrus. There was certainly no playing any music. There was no TV show. So think about it. He's sitting mamash all by himself. And no one's allowed to be with him. He can't even be, Rashi says, manishtana mishar tmeim. Why is he different from all the other tmeim that he used to sit in isolation? Badad yeshef. He can't even be with someone else who's tamei. Not somebody tell me the nefesh, not someone tell me nida, not somebody tell me zava zava, nothing. He can't be with anybody else. Why? Why? He separated people with his words. He has to be separated from society. I mean, like, Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, starting in Pasuk Mem Gimel, Mem Dalet, Mem Hei, with Rashi there. Okay, so he has to be totally separate. Rabbi Blachman gave an unbelievable chiddush. I asked Aryeh, was he quoting someone, or was his own Ha'ara? Aryeh wasn't sure. I don't know if Rabbi Blachman quoted anybody else. It's Gevaldik. What is the root? Ow! What is the root of a person? It was at the edge. What is the root of a person speaking Lashon Hara? So the Gemara says very clearly in Erech in Tazayin that we Tzaras comes because of Tzarus Ayin, stingy eye, Gasus Haruach, haughty spirit. These are all things. If you see other people with that negative eye, if you see your neighbor with a negative eye, you're going to go talk to your best friend, who's also your other neighbor on the other side, about you, because you see her with a stinginess of an eye. If you have a gasus haruach, you compare yourself to others, and I'm better than everybody else, and you're going to talk about the other person at the next table, to simcha, to the person next to you, because you're better than everyone else. So Rabbi Blachman said that the root of these, and it ties in exactly to what we're learning, the root of what we... of this negative speech and this negative eye and this haughty spirit comes when we compare ourselves to other people. They made that kind of simcha, so I have to make that kind of simcha. They go on that kind of vacation, I have to go on that kind of vacation. I should go nowhere. Everyone went somewhere. Everyone's posting on Instagram and WhatsApp status picture of their vacation. I just stayed home. They drive that kind of car, I have to drive this kind of car. They wear that style and brand of clothing and that brand of jacket, and I have to wear that brand of jacket. Otherwise, why would we do these things? Like, why would we do these things? No, I'm being serious. Why would I pay $1,000 for a jacket if I could buy a very nice one at Costco or a Lands' End for like $200? No, just think about it for a second. I'm being serious, okay? You don't have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me it's in your closet. It's a fact that we compare each other to, we compare ourselves to other people in society, which makes us behave in a certain way. Do certain things, behave in a certain way. And when we can't live up to the standards of someone else, because, like, let's say I just can't afford a $1,000 jacket, so, like, I nebuch buy the $250 one, and it keeps me warm, okay? But I can't, so I start comparing myself to other people. I can't live up to their standards. And it leads to Tzarus Ayin and Kina. Why are you shaking your head? No, because for many people, this is reality. It got a simchas, and you feel just. It's a normal reaction. Not everyone may be doing it. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. Hamon looks at what other people have. There's a certain stand. This is a fact of a human condition and society. And they see what other people have, and if you can't have it, you feel bad. And certainly, children feel bad. And at least Lashon Hara. It leads to Motzi Shemra. Leads to Rechilas. So what do you do to the Mitzora? Instead of worrying about who everybody else is, figure out who you are. Oh, it's gewaldic. It's not a punishment. It's not a consequence. It's finding out who you are. Stop living your life based on what everyone else is doing. If they can afford that kind of simcha with the 20 meat carving station and the beautiful sushi and the wall of flowers and the fence, and you can't, and you go to the Gaon Gemach, okay? Stop comparing yourself to everybody. And that's why you send the Mitzora out of the camp. Let him figure out who he is, not who everyone else is. And when you figure out who you are, mindfulness, your own needs, your own wants, we're so mixed up, we're like 100 salads all dumped at the same time. It's like the salad container spilled out in the lunch bag, and it's not even in a container anymore. The breakfast mixed with the lunch, mixed with the snack, mixed with the after school food, everything's mixed up. We don't even know what we want. They have that kind of simcha, so I have to have that kind of simcha. They have that kind of vacation, so I have to have that kind of vacation. What do you do to the Mitzora? No reading. Don't read in the magazine what everyone else says. Don't look at the ads in Mishpacha. It's not for you. Don't look at the Simpson Piaget watch on the back. Oh, it is this week. Okay, my watch is from Costco. It's very nice. It's a Seiko. Is that you pronounce it? Seiko. You separate the Mitzora from society till he's healed. What does it mean till he's healed? Till he knows who he is. And he's ready to live in society with what he needs for his avodas Hashem, with his standards, with his ratzon. Stop worrying about everyone else's ratzon. And there won't be Lashon Hara. There won't be Motzi Shemra. because you know who you are. Wait, I want to quote his name properly. It's Rabbi Blachman. Let me see if I can find it quickly. I even asked my son his first name so I could say it properly, or it's Gevaldik. I never heard such a chiddush on the Mitzvah before. Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh Blachman from OJ. He was his night seder Rebbe. My son, can I know, is turning 26. So let's say Shalav was when he was 18, right? So this is 8 years ago? Is that possible? Shalav was 8 years ago? Does that make sense? Okay. Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh Blachman from OJ, my night seder Rebbe. And he sends out a like under 5 minute voice note every week to the Talmidim. And this is just unbelievable. Know who you are. When you know who you are, what you're comfortable with. Someone said recently, I would never go on Central Avenue in Tichel. Okay, so don't go on Central Avenue in Tichel. Okay, so don't go. You have to know what you are, who you are in your Avodas Hashem. You have to know what's good for you. You have to know what's between you and the Ribbon Shel Olam. Don't go on Central Avenue in Tichel. Okay, but that means you're already comparing yourself to me. That means you're already comparing. And then you're saying, I'm not going to do it. Fine, so don't do it. What do I care? You separate the Mitzora, so he has a chance. Badod Yeshev Michutz Lamachana. Send him out of the city. Send him out of society. Send him away from the Simchas. Don't let him go for that week. And if it takes 2 weeks, for 2 weeks. What can he afford? Who is he? What's good for him and his family? No reading, no writing, no talking, no music, no TV. Certainly no posting. I'm sure they took away the phone. Who are you? And then when he starts to heal, he can come back. Because the root of kina, of taiva, kina taiva v'kavod motzina sa'adam min ha'olam, we're journeying through Pirkei Avos these weeks, kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, kavod, the quest for honor removes a person from this world. There's a shoemaker at my corner. Does anyone ever go to the shoemaker next to Ruben's barbershop? I love going in there. It's such a musar lesson. If you need your shoes repaired, go to him. I'm sure it's a mitzvah to give this yid parnasa. He has this teeny store next to Ruben's barbershop in Seasons Express.
And he's good.
What?
He's good. He's a good shoemaker.
He does a great job. He does a beautiful job. We just had two pairs of shoes, my daughter's, and then the next week my son-in-law, and he does a beautiful job, and he charges very little money. And whenever you walk in, he's an older Bukharian Jew who wears his work apron. It's a teeny store. Who's been there? So we know what it looks like. It's worth the trip to Woodmere. And if there's no customers, which I don't know, I don't see. From time to time, someone walks in. He changes watch batteries also. He's always sitting in this little chair. I can't tell you how small the shop is. Like, there's a place for you to walk in. And then there's the desk, and there's the shoes. And he's sitting there with a sitter, or a tehillim, or a sefer. He just sits in his chair in his work apron, with his work clothing. And he sits, last time I walked in last week to pick up my son's shoes, he was wearing he was with a sitter, I think. He wished me I left a Shabbat Shalom. He's such a city, he doesn't have a phone. I don't know, maybe he does. But when he has a spare time, every time I walk in, he's with a safer if he's not serving a customer. Figure out what you need, why you're living. Not what the next person posts or you have to post. What's on their status or what's on your status? What's their vacation? What's my vacation? Just leave the camp. Mikutz la'machana. Just figure. Machana and minducha are the same letters. And we know that nothing in the Torah is by accident, because we say that all the time. Because everything with the Torah is with machshav and intent. If you leave the machana, and you let the tzara'as teach you the lesson it's supposed to teach you, you will come to a state of menucha, which is rest. Because you'll be more comfortable. You'll clean up the lunch bag, and everything will be compartmentalized. And yes, there's always going to be some overlap. But what's your own ratzon? And in the fast-paced, noisy, bombarding world in which we live, we don't even sometimes know what our own ratzon is. We sometimes don't even know what's good for us personally. because it's osmosis. You have to be affected by some degree by the society in which you live. It's not possible to not be. It's almost not possible. To some degree, everyone is. Okay, now I'm going back to the best part of the article. Okay, I'm going to go back two paragraphs. I'm going back to Rabbi Dov Ber Cohen. Okay. In his book, he offers practical exercise to achieve calmness and yeshuva das in a complicated and often confusing world. Today, he's on a mission. He wants to teach humanity and the people who attend his workshops and classes about mindfulness, real priorities, and the Torah way to achieve inner peace and serenity. Regardless of the pain, not suffering, pain and challenges hitting you from all sides. So he's not saying that this world is a walk in the park. He's not saying this world is easy. But when you achieve that sense of clarity, what is your real ratzon? When you're mindful before you daven, mindful before you eat, mindful before you learn Torah, at least you're mindful as you're going through life. Judaism, he explains, also is an ancient meditation tradition, although it's called by other names. Working on your character traits, tikkun amidos, is our way of meditating. Developing love and compassion, ahavas abrios, we just had last week's parasha, v'ahavta recha kamocha, amar Rabbi Akiva, zekal godavatar. Compassion, it's very interesting. If you look at Targum Unklus, what is Targum Unklus's interpretation and translation of love? Every time the word love appears in the Torah, usirachim. That's right. Targum Unklus's translation slash interpretation of ahava is rachamim. So if you, look up every time. It's beautiful. Calming your mind and conquering your Yetzirah. The Gemara tells us the early Hasidim would sit for an hour before davening. What are they doing? An hour before davening. The Rambam says, Lahashkis Mechshav Tam, to quiet their thoughts. And therefore, what I learned in the Far East, he says, are not foreign concepts. So what he did, he took everything in the Far East that he learned, and he sees how it's really all rooted in Judaism. And some of the tools can be used to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're all rooted in Torah. But our goal isn't meditation for its own sake. It's not meditation lishma. That's not the end all and be all. It's a technique to achieve a level of mindfulness, to calm our minds so we can really use our minds, not to space out from our minds. We train our minds in emunah, faith, and bitachon, trust, and the idea that everything is from Hashem. And at that level, it's impossible, when you come to really have emunah, bitachon, and that it's all from Hashem, it's impossible to feel doubt. B'chol avavcha, Rashi, Devarim 6:5, shelo yeh libcha chaluk al hamakom. Your heart should not be divided over Hashem. Anxiety, anger, kalakois, kol minei gehem shaltim bo. Hate, last week, Sedra 1917, jealousy, and other negative emotions. What's your mind telling you? Are you listening? Everyone listen. Here we'll come to the best part of the article. Not really. I hope it's not the best part, but like, just listen. Someone made a joke. She probably doesn't look as good in the tichel as you do. That's very cute, Malki Salter. That was from a long time ago. That is very cute. What is your mind telling you? In order to build a muna, you have to get rid of the noise and regain control of your mind. In order to build a muna, you have to get rid of the noise. Find your ratzon. When desires are not distinct but mixed, no desire can clearly be sensed. Whenever there's a mixture of different ingredients, nothing is recognizable. You have desire for bodily pleasure mixed with pride, mixed with desire to serve Hashem. There's such a mixture of desires, one surfacing after another. We don't even know what we want. Are you ready for the best part of the article?
I'm waiting.
Ready? I'm so excited. I find the whole thing very interesting. And then I get to the end. Mindfulness, he continues, a theme promoted by his Rebbe, Rav Itamar Schwartz. The author of the Bilvavi book series. Oh, now I know why the whole thing, the whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking of Share. His Rebbe is our author. No wonder everything he's teaching is what we've been working on for 6 months. I couldn't believe it's so gewaldic. I'm quoting last week's Mishpacha. What page is this? 97. The whole article. I skipped most of the article. I skipped the way you excerpt. We brought other insights and we built upon it. We brought it down to our lives also. But here we go. That's why it sounds so familiar. Yeah, gewaldic. Mindfulness, he continues, a theme promoted by his Rabbi, Rav Itamar Schwartz, the author of the Bilvavi book series, is a way of living, of being present in the moment. That's what we're talking about for the past 6 months. of being conscious, of being aware, of being intentional. Intentional. Kavana, that's what he's speaking about the whole time. Kavana in tefillah, kavana in eating, kavana in limitar, kavana in relationships. At least, if you're going to eat the third donut, at least have kavana before you do it. It means being here. He's a Talmud of Rav Itamar Schwartz. He's a chassid of Bilvavi, Mishkan Evne. Exactly where Hashem puts you at the moment. In Kabbalistic Sfarim, in the Shulchan Aruch, Oyveh, here we go. That was the best part. It wasn't really the best part, but I was so excited that that's why this was all so familiar. In Kabbalistic Sfarim and in the Shulchan Aruch as well, the first step in this reframing, okay, I have to finish. The first step in this reframing process is called Hashkasa, like from quieting down, Sheket. Because the ego is what creates all the clutter in the mind, all the self-centered associative thoughts, which is exactly what Rabbi Blachman said. A person has to leave the camp because his ego, she should have such a simcha and I shouldn't have such a simcha. She should have such a gan and I shouldn't have such a gan. They should have such a shmorg and I should have this kind of shmorg. All the self-centered associative thoughts. The first thing to do is quiet the ego, to allow the neshama to be exposed. Who remembers how many weeks we spoke about the fact that the neshama is covered up? It's his Rebbe. But how do you do that? Rav Derber gives straightforward, uncomplicated instructions. Turn off your phone, sit up straight. Okay, so he's talking about like some meditation here. Turn off your phone, sit up straight. I don't know if you're going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to do this, but there's a lot to learn from this. Turn off your phone, sit up straight. Loosen your neck and shoulders. Start breathing very deeply and steadily through your nose. Focus all your attention in your breath coming in and out. Feel Hashem keeping you alive as he sends his breath into you. So this, yes, this is a little far out and new age, but also he's applying the Far East knowledge to Yehadis, and also he's a Talmud of Rav Itamar Schwartz. If your mind begins to wander, catch it. Smile. Bring your attention back to your breath. Don't get frustrated. Don't give up. Don't fight. This is called HaKoveshus Yisro. This is called Hashkasa, quieting your mind. Why bother with all this? Why not just go through life keeping Shabbos and doing the mitzvah? Says Rav Dober, you have a job in this world. What's your job in this world? To become the best version of you that you can be, to reach your potential. You are a beautiful, shining, holy soul. So deal with your character defects, because everyone has them, by becoming master of the mind, master of the body, and master of your emotions. It's not about what you're doing with life, but who you're being while you're doing what you're doing with your life. The purpose of Torah mitzvahs is to create a deep connection between you and yourself. That's why you send him in Torah out, says Rabbi Blachman. He doesn't know who he is. He's so busy comparing himself to society that he doesn't even know what he wants. That's why he's Torah signing. That's why he's Gassas Ruach. That's why he spoke Lashon Hara. That's why he made Shvua Shav. Because he doesn't know who he is. So send him out, not a punishment. Nothing. No reading, no writing, no music, no TV, no other people, no talking. Figure out who you are. And when you figure out who you are, that you feel okay walking down Central Avenue in a Tichel, now you can come back to society. It's not about what you're doing with your life, but who you're being when you're doing it. Yes, that's exactly right. Esti points out that Kovish Yitzro is this week's Pirkei Avos. It's Perek Dalad Mishnah Aleph. That's exactly right. The purpose of Torah and Mitzvahs is to create a deep connection, first and foremost, between you and yourself. Because if you don't know who you are, how could you serve God? You're serving God based on what other people are doing, but who am I? Then, between you and your fellow, and obviously you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, just going through the motions will never achieve that. Success in Torah terms is not based on what you have. It's who you are. Have you perfected yourself as much as possible? How much you perfect yourself in thought, machshava, speech, dibur, action, maisa, and how much you're giving to those around you. And as you become your best, you're helping others around you to become great as well. Maybe when we stop comparing ourselves and know who we really are, it will influence people the other way. Let them be who they are. Every decision you ever make, every corner you turn, run it through your mind. Every decision you ever make, every corner you turn, run it through your mind. Is this making me a better person? Is this helping me improve the world? It's a beautiful article. If you could read the whole thing, I gave you a very good synopsis of it. I think, obviously, not my favorite, but the part that made me smile is who his Rebbe is. No wonder it sounds so familiar, but I just think it's so important for what we're learning, that The only way to be mindful is really to stop looking at all around us and to stop comparing ourselves and to find out what is my ratzon. What do I need for myself, for my family, for the people dependent on me, for those closest to me, for my own personal avodas Hashem? To sometimes just stop and take the time to be mindful. Not on our phones, not talking, not reading, writing, nothing. Now, sometimes I go for my fast walk. When I go for my fast walk, so usually I listen to Shir, because it's the only time I really have to listen to Shir, or when I'm driving. At home, I don't have time. So if I go for a fast walk, but if it's raining, I go on the tram, I watch a nature documentary, fine. If it's not raining, and the weather's okay, and I go outside, then I listen to a shir. And sometimes I turn it off. Say, I just don't want anything right now. I just want to be walking outside. And there are birds chirping, and there are trees, and in the spring, everything is blossoming. So sometimes if there's like 10 minutes or 15 minutes left of the walk, and I will not start another shir. I'll finish the first one, and I'll say, I just don't want anything right now. And it's something that we have to try and integrate and then calculate into our lives, because it will make us a better me, which will make me a better person who can relate to others, which will ultimately make me into a better Eved Hashem. Mindfulness, a theme promoted by his Rebbe, Rabbi Itamar Schwartz, author of the Bilvavi book series, is a way of living, being present in the moment, being conscious, being aware, being intentional, being here, exactly where Hashem put you at this moment. So we thank the Frum family very much. L'zeichon nishmas Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, Hashem Hashem, continuously in the course of these Devei Torah. Hashem, everyone, a gevaldic week of mindfulness. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye the Tov, and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you so much.